I was just looking at this list on our website of some places we've played. It's kind of an impressive list of the venues both in the United States and around the world that we've played.
Well, you know, we've been touring since the late 1920s, and it adds up.
Hi, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one-third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 208, Places We've Played. We've devoted previous podcasts to specific venues we've played before. The Kennedy Center, the New Victory in New York City, Merrimack Rep in Lowell, Massachusetts, the Criterion Theater in London, Jubilee Hall in Singapore. Many of them are listed on our website, reduceshakespeare.com. So this week, Reed Martin, Matt Rippey, and I thought we'd go down that list and see what memories they spark. We begin with Pittsburgh Public Theater, which is the next place we play from January 4th to January 9, 2011.
They have a history of a very popular sports show, The Chief, which is about the former owner of the Steelers football team. So we hope we do well there. Pittsburgh is always fun. And we get the Permane Brothers sandwich.
And I'm looking forward to Pittsburgh because I've never been there. So right. I'll get the Pittsburgh experience.
Steel Town is a real town.
Steel Town, USA.
There's a few different theaters we've played in Seattle. Seattle Repertory Theater, where I think we're one of their top 10 selling shows with the Millennium Musical back in 99. We were there at the turn of the 99 to 2000.
Yeah, a hugely popular, big selling show, and we've never been back. I'm not quite exactly sure what happened there.
I don't know. Sometimes there's a change of artistic leadership. We also did, I remember working the book show at a contemporary theater.
A contemporary theater, ACT.
Yeah, ACT in Seattle, not American Conservatory Theater in San Francisco.
And we closed that theater, didn't we?
Well, we got there, and they were going, I think they're fine now. This was, I don't know, 10 years ago? Eight years ago. And they were in tough financial straits. And I think the whole marketing staff had just been laid off. The good thing about that, what I remember, is doing the book show there and really tightening it.
Yeah.
Because we had some very small audiences. Yeah. And so the good part of that was there were the tough crowds made us tighten the show.
Well, doing the early performances of a show at a theater where the audiences are small is actually great for a show because you tighten the show so it works for a small audience. You don't just want a show that works for big, large audiences. You know, we want the show to work every time.
Well, and then you bring it in front of a big crowd, and they go crazy.
Yeah. The other great thing about performing in Seattle, of course, is that you get Buns of Steel walking up and down those hills.
Yeah, that's right. Let's see, what else do we have on here? Marin Theater Company. We performed there a couple times. That's nice for me because I can just, any place where I can drive to work, that's always a good thing.
Well, Marin, that was great. We did the Bible show there in the mid-90s. Quincy was a baby, so it was 97, maybe? 96, 97, I think we were there.
For some reason, I have it in my head. We did the America and Bible in Rep, and we were working on the Millennium show we were there. That was fun.
That's right. It would be great to go back there. I think this whole podcast is going to be, boy, it'd be great to go back to this theater.
Yeah,
especially like the Theater Royal Glasgow.
We should go back there. That's a beautiful house. In fact, a lot of the theaters that are my favorites on this list are theaters, the old opera houses in England, because they just don't make them like that anymore, and certainly not in the States. And theater in Glasgow, Theater Royal in Glasgow, the Buxton Opera House is, I think, for me, the coolest old opera house. It's also the shallowest. Not the audience members, it's the shallow,
the
seats are like the last row on the floor. It doesn't even go to the end of the alphabet, it's like only halfway there. And and then the seats, there's not just a circle and a second circle, there's like four. And when you're way up in the gods, you're like staring down at the people's heads. And I remember when we played there the first time, this is back in the Shakespeare tour in 96, we sold the place out, and they even allowed standing room only, and so we could see bodies way up top, just lying, standing up, peering over, trying not to be sick or puke on us. But
I remember that in, I think it was Newcastle. It was the end of our first lengthy UK tour, and I think we finished with two shows in Newcastle, just packed. to the rafters.
Mm-hmm. And just those were the days.
Rocking. But so many of those beautiful theaters in England are so fun. And Buxton is a beautiful town. I also think of Theatre Royal Bath, which
Bath.
Is a fantastic town.
And one of my favorites, because we were in Bath when you guys drafted me for the Bible on its way into the West End.
That's right.
And you guys were bored after like 10 days of rehearsing me. You were bored of rehearsing me. And so I think that afternoon in the Get In, you just said, you know what, Rippy, no rehearsal today.
You're ready.
You're on tonight. So that was special for me.
Well, and I love going to those Theatre Royals because most of them are fantastic. But then every now and then you'll get to one in a town where you go, oh, well, this is not worthy of the designation royal. Well,
what kind of slipshod theater is this?
I'm not going to say the name of the town, but there's a Theatre Royal in Winchester that we played, and it was terrible.
Yeah, that's right. That was the one.
It was really kind of run down. I'm sure it's beautiful now. That was some years ago. The one that sticks in my mind, English venues, another one, is the Birmingham Repertory Theater,
which we've
played several times. When we have gone in there on tour, it's usually been on a Sunday, which is the traditional dark theater day in Britain. Now, Birmingham Rep is doing shows 6 days a week, and then they bring in a show on the dark day. I think they were doing Joe Orton's Entertaining Mr. Sloan or something. And so we were doing, was it the Shakespeare show on the set of Entertaining Mr. Sloan?
And they didn't do it, I think, traditionally as an interior living room. They did it as an exterior of two council houses, basically.
Yeah, so you had these exterior, these front yards, and a fountain and a pond.
Yeah.
So we were doing a block.
And
the set was raked. For those of you who are not theater people, it means it's sort of tilted. The back of the set is kind of tilted up slightly so the audience can see it. But also the theater seats were steeply raked. In other words, maybe the bottom row is right at our eye level, but the top row is way up high.
And you're basically looking at a wall of people. They're sitting kind of on top of each other. It's a wall of people going up way, way high.
Yeah, and with the set tilted, I felt like I was trapped in a crevasse.
And we did at one point lie down on our backs to do a physical bit for the people way high because they were looking literally at the tops of our heads.
They were tired of looking at my shiny head.
Yeah.
The other theater I remember on this list, it also lists countries we've played, and I remember playing Japan. And the second time we went to Japan, they didn't market it for expatriates and English speakers. They're really trying to sell it to a Japanese audience. And we were doing the show, and they did not have a clue. People say, does your show travel all over the world? And it does, as long as English is at least a fairly strong secondary language.
Yeah, right.
But in Japan, they can read it, and maybe they understand it, but I don't think they understand it, because the only laughs we'd get is we'd go along for about 10 minutes with no laughs, and then we'd just say, Madonna! And then they laugh. And then we go along for another 10 minutes with no laughs.
Elvis!
And then we grab one of their lunches. Oh! So then when we went back, he marketed to expats, and that was a lot better experience.
Well, and I remember we played the Oxford Playhouse once. We were there for a week.
Yeah.
I mean, I know the RSC has played there several times, but I know I've only been there once or twice. We played there for a week, and it was great because I actually took a class at Oxford, so I feel like, of course, I attended Oxford University, you know. But it was Worcester College, and they've got the pink and black colors of the house. It's like, really? Is that flattering on anybody? You know?
Yeah, it worked in the 80s, but no.
You know, it didn't even, you know, in the 80s. But we played the Corn Exchange in Cambridge, but only like a night or two at a time.
It's huge. You couldn't play more than one or two nights.
It's humongous. But we don't get to spend as much time in Cambridge as much as I would like, because, I mean, those are just two fantastic college towns.
Yeah. Did you ever play the Stables somewhere in Middle England?
Which
sounds like Lord of the Rings. But somewhere in Middle Earth.
We played Hobbiton, yes.
The Stables is like it's actually made for hobbits, because the stage was the size, literally, of a postage stamp. Mm. So we had no backdrop, we had no prop table, you had to exit.
Literally, it was the size of a postage
stamp? Yes, that's right. Yes,
okay,
literally,
go ahead.
We played on a postage stamp, and it was a big postage stamp.
Okay.
But that was weird. In weird places, we played a basketball court at a school, Catholic girls' school, somewhere outside of Cork. And our dressing room was the sports locker where they kept all the basketballs and, you know, cones and things. That was the weirdest thing, sitting on a cone waiting to go on.
Ouch, that's smart.
Our first Irish tour, we did the Shakespeare show in, what town was it? I think it was Carrickmacross I think that's southern Ireland, if you follow me.
Right.
And the school was a nunnery. So, get thee to a nunnery was like, get thee here. Yeah.
Hi.
Hi, this is Bruce McPherson, Managing Director of the Eisman Center in downtown Richardson, Texas, and you are listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company's podcast.
Hi, my name is Tim Reinman from Grosse Pointe Farms, a suburb of Detroit, Michigan, and I'm a big fan of the RSC. Last year, I was lucky enough to portray Austin's roles in a local version of Shakespeare Abridged, so I feel as if I'm a part of the Brotherhood now. I listen to the podcast every week, and recently, I think you guys have been making them just for me. One week, it's all about baseball, and that's my number one sport. Then the next week was the Star Trek discussion, and that's me. I'm the guy who likes both. Well, then to top it off, you played a snippet of Somewhere Over the Rainbow that I've actually performed on the ukulele before. I just love that version by Israel Kamana, Israel Kamaka Vivaoli's name.
Let's talk a little bit about the various theaters in London we've played. Because okay. we were the Arts for a year, 92, 93, almost a year. Then, of course, at the Criterion for nine and a half years, yeah. I think, 96 to 2005.
I love the Criterion. What a beautiful theater. And I remember when I first walked in there, I just remember thinking, this is beautiful. What made them think it was okay to let the Reduced Shakespeare Company come in and play on the furniture?
Right. Well, and it's a great small little theater, and until we got in there, nothing had really stayed. It wasn't really well regarded as a place where you could do shows. I think Carrie, a stage adaptation of Stephen
Misery,
King's
they were doing
Misery.
Yes.
That's right, Misery, which died a death apparently. Right. And but now it's after us. It's been the home of the 39 Steps, yeah. which is
in what fifth year or
it's,
something.
Yeah, it's going for the record as well. And I like that we kind of set that theater up as a comedy venue, and they're running with that.
As long as the comedy venue is in a very reduced Shakespeare Company style, which yes. 39 Steps appears to be.
Zing, bazing,
bitter much, bitter
no,
table too.
No, theirs is completely different. Because they have four guys.
True. Yeah. And one's a girl.
Mm.
One's a real girl.
There you have it.
But then the Arts Theater was great because it was so small and lovely and just off of Leicester Square. But it's famous, most famous, I think, right, for hosting the English language premiere of Waiting for Godot, or Godot, as we say in the UK, right?
Yeah, they had a photo, I think, in the lobby. It was Bernard Cribbins, and I forget it. Did Alan Schneider direct it?
I think he did.
I'm not sure, but yeah, it did.
Very cool. I mean, I'm not too sentimental about those kinds of things, but it was great to play to that theater. Go, really?
Yeah.
The first production was here.
That's awesome.
The picture of Gilgood when we did the Bible in the Gilgood in the West End.
That's another London theater we played. We did the Bible at the Gilgood Theater in 1997.
Yeah, and seeing him up there also gave me a little tingle. That's Gilgood. Although he had a slightly disapproving look, I remember.
It's true. Well, and we've been back, you know, a couple of times just to London, and I see that they've taken our pictures down from the front of the Gilgood. I'm not quite sure what happened there.
So they left up pictures in the Arts of the original production of Waiting for Godot.
Yes.
But at the Gilgood, they took down our photos from the Bible.
That's just not right.
And well, I should probably speak a little about the first times we performed in London.
Where's that?
Well, the first time we went was 1990. London.
All right.
Because I came aboard in 89, and they had played the Edinburgh Fringe Festival a couple of times. But in 1990, we played Edinburgh. I think this was before Edinburgh, our agent had gotten us a booking to play a reduced version of the complete works of William, an even further reduced version of the complete works, in the lobby of the Barbican, when the Royal Shakespeare Company was still there.
Right.
Is that why that's on our list? Mm-hmm. I always thought that was just a little joke you slipped in there.
No, it's true. So we were like the warm-up act for the Royal.
Wow.
And we got a lot of press coverage. It was fantastic. Right. And then that led, so that would have been summer of 1990. That then led to our second London run, which was, I believe it was 5 or 6 weeks in a little studio theater called the Lillian Bayliss, which is attached to the Sadler's Wells. I don't know if it's still there. I think it is. And so we did a run over the holiday, sort of. If you didn't want to go see a panto, you went to see the Reduced Shakespeare Company. And that was packed. And that led then eventually to the run at the Arts Theater.
Right.
Okay, so weirdest place I've ever performed with the Reduced Shakespeare Company was in Bahrain. And we were booked.
For the Americans, could you explain where that is?
Oh, yes, Bahrain. Yeah. If you take a globe and spin it to the other side, it's somewhere there.
It's on the Arabian Peninsula. Isn't it one of the United Arab Emirates?
Yeah, that's right, yeah, in the Middle East. Google it. And it was great to be there. We had great digs. We had, you know, little outdoor jacuzzis. But we were booked in at a basketball court that was basketball/tennis court.
Sounds like the Harlem Globetrotters.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, and they just set up bleachers, and it was windy, so you know all of our props went flying. And but the thing I remember most about it was they said, we have a very special guest in tonight. She's the daughter. She's the Sheikh's daughter. And
William Shakes.
Yeah.
Shakespeare, not Shakespeare, but a sheik.
Yeah. You say sheik, I say sheik. And they said, whatever you do, we heard there's audience participation, don't mess with her. And this is the Shakespeare show we're talking, and of course I spend all my time puking on the audience, and I thought I'm not going to change my performance. I'm going to give these people,
I have principles.
So I the first time I've run out into the audience to puke as Juliet, I go straight for her. You could tell that she was who she was by the way she sat and was surrounded by bodyguards. And as I approached her,
I don't like the way this is going.
Bodyguards rushed me, but stopped when they realized that she was just having the time of her life. She loved it. She even cupped her hands, like, give me my hands. And so I gave the bodyguards a little look like, take that.
And then afterwards, quietly, they drug you away.
I was beaten and spent a year in jail. So.
What is the weirdest venue you remember playing in?
Oh, God. You know, the circus tent in the Liverpool Comedy Festival.
Oh, yes, yeah. with a generator on one side and the fun fair on the other side.
Yeah, we've talked about that.
The one I remember, and I think we've mentioned in a podcast, too, is right after I joined the RSC. This is probably the fall of 89 or early 1990. We played Washington State University, and their theater is in the basketball arena. So this is a Pac-10 basketball arena. So it holds 12,000, and they sort of lower a shell down from the ceiling, and so you play from the free throw line kind of to the baseline. So you're playing to only 2,000 people.
Right, right.
And it takes you about 10 minutes to get from the dressing room to the stage.
Well, I guess in that venue, I mean, I guess it's a quirk of my survival skills that I try to focus on the places I've enjoyed.
this is me.
Yeah.
I enjoy things like
you
that.
You enjoy things like that. Yeah, I just kind of go, ugh.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just go, ugh, never again.
Yeah.
But in those veins, I mean, in that vein, we played University of Indiana in Bloomington, in like a venue that is 3,500 seats. It's a theater.
Yeah, a WPA built theater.
Yeah, but it's a theater with 3,500 seats. It just goes on for days and days and days. You can see, you know, you need binoculars to see the back wall, and we didn't sell out. Well, of course we didn't sell out. We only sold about 2,200 tickets. So they had to close off the back, I don't know, 80 feet or whatever it is. But you had to change your performance so dramatically. It was, you would have to talk slowly and do a punchline. Line. Let it get to the back. And then the laughter, you'd hear the laughter start right in front of it, go, ha, ha, ha.
So,
and then it would wave back to us.
That must have taken forever.
It did.
Okay, so 2,200, probably the biggest house you've played, though not full.
Probably.
What would be the biggest house with people in the seats that you've ever played?
You mean
where we?
Oh, that we filled.
That we filled.
I think
number of people you've played to.
I think the old Oscar Mayer Theater
in Madison,
which has been now the Overture Center, and they've reconfigured it a little. But before they did that, I think that was around 2,500 seats, and we always sold well, and sometimes we would fill it.
Yeah, in fact, that was my answer. Is the first time I did the Bible on the tour with you guys, I remember going there and being gobsmacked. And I love the fact that it's a little reduced tradition to come out and sing the Oscar Mayer Wiener song.
My theater has a first name. It's OSCAR.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your favorite venues via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on our website podcast page, and you can post reviews at our podcast page on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website, reducedshakespeare.com, and our Reduced Shakespeare Company fan page at facebook.com. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. www.theatrewithadave.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, director of venue operations Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Farley Snow. No reason, it's just random. Thanks to Tim Reinman for sending us his audio feedback. You too can appear on the RSE podcast. Just record and email your message to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. And special thanks to Bruce McPherson from the Eisman Center in Richardson, Texas. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 208 624th of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Remember when we played the Centaur Theater in Montreal in 1990, and that's the main English-speaking producing theater in Montreal. And I think we became the biggest selling show in the history of the theater, and we extended by a couple of weeks, and the place would just shake. It would just be so exciting to go to work when that happened.
Yeah.
It's just thrilling.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less.